And welcome back into another episode of the Ball Boys Podcast. You know the NFL season is just right around the corner because we're starting the divisional previews. A little 2-for-1 action, buy one, get one free on the divisional previews on the Ball Boys Podcast. We're starting with the AFC and the NFC West this week. I believe next week, AFC, NFC South, then the North. And then, of course, we got to close it out with the East when it comes to talking about our Philadelphia Eagles, Nolan's Jets. So make sure you stay tuned for all that. But today we're doing the West, and we have to start with the AFC West. We're going to go in terms of talking about these teams, where they finished last year, and then close it out with our predictions for this year. But of course, the winner of the AFC West, the winner of the NFL, the winner of the Super Bowl, the Kansas City Chiefs with a 14-3 record last season. Patrick Mahomes, regular season MVP. Patrick Mahomes, Super Bowl MVP. I mean, what could go right for the Chiefs? Absolutely did. They were dominant last year. Travis Kelce, career highs and just about everything. As Tyreek Hill departs, people thought maybe they'd take a step back. Turns out they are that damn good. Now, going into this year, not too many storylines. Similar roster coming back, a little bit older. They lose Orlando Brown, the left tackle, so we'll see if that has an effect on the offensive line. Chris Jones currently in some contract holdout. I expect, you know, Brett Veach, he's a savvy GM. He's up there with Howie Roseman, so I'd be shocked if a deal doesn't get done. A lot of rookies on that defense into their sophomore year. So, you know, we could sit here and talk all day about how good the Chiefs are, but if you're on this podcast, listen, you don't need us to tell you that Patrick Mahomes is good and Travis Kelce is good and Andy Reid's good. Nolan, I want to kick it to you with a question of, aside from injury, if something were to derail the Chiefs season, or if something were to be concerning to you, where does it land? Is it Super Bowl hangover, the wide receiver room being weak, the defense not being as good as they were last year? What's like the one concern if you were to have one about Kansas City?
So I would say the Super Bowl hangover, just because Andy Reid's teams usually are very slow. And especially when you bring in a Super Bowl championship, I think that could even equate that even more. So for me, I think that's the only thing, because, I mean, like you said, receiver room, yeah, maybe, but last year it was pretty similar. I think they got better weapons, honestly, on offense this year. Defensively, they really didn't lose too much. They pretty much have a really good team, obviously, this year. So yeah. I'd pick one thing, I'd say hangover.
Yeah, you got to wonder how some of those young guys are going to respond. You know, their defense, I believe they were fourth highest in terms of rookie minutes, which is crazy because when you looked at the other three teams, they were all at the bottom of the league. With Kansas City had some rookies that played big minutes, but how do they respond to winning a Super Bowl? Are they up in their head about it? Are they cocky? You know, obviously, you know, Mahomes and Kelce are coming back firing, but you know, that doesn't necessarily set the tempo for the defense, and the defensive leader, Chris Jones, isn't there right now. So maybe the defense gets off to a slow start. It's certainly possible. Isaiah Pacheco, he had a huge playoff run for them. Is that just a flash in the pan, or is he the real deal? You know, seventh round pick out of Rutgers. So obviously the draft capital, a lot of teams, every team pass on him multiple times in the draft. So is he that true workhorse guy for them, or is there going to be more of a committee in this running back situation? And who's the wide receiver one? You know, you said last year that the receiving core was worse. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. In terms of pure talent, if everybody stays healthy, sure. But are you betting on Kadarius Toney to stay healthy? Like, he's already dealing with an injury. Juju Smith-Schuster, we knew what he was. Mecole Hardman, he had been in the system for a while. So you're going to have to look for a guy like Toney to stay healthy. And if not, it's Sky Moore, Justin Ross. So
they even had it wasn't MVS there too last year, right?
He's still there. Yeah. So he's nothing crazy to, you know, write home about. That would be where my concern is. And again, we're nitpicking here because it's the Chiefs. I don't think either one of us are picking the Chiefs to miss the playoffs or something. But kind of a different topic here as to what would be concerning is, you know, Travis Kelce in his 30s, you know, didn't show signs of slowing down last year. But eventually there's got to be some regression. If this is the year, somebody else has to step up. And I don't think that they have a target to do so.
I actually thought I'm embarrassed to say this, but I was fading Travis Kelce last year in fantasy just because years before when Tyreek Hill was out, they would double team Kelce and his fantasy production like plummeted down. So I thought it'd be super similar last year, and I was
Coach Reed figured out a way to get him open. Yep. I think they were saying it in the preview show before the Super Bowl. The Eagles defensive players were saying, everybody knows it's going to be 87 Kelce, but somehow he's still open. So, you know, Travis Kelce is an absolute beast. But, you know, ultimately, I think both of us will have the Chiefs at the top, or at least top two in the playoff picture when we finish off this segment. But I want to move forward to the Chargers here. They finished 10-7 last year. Obviously, Justin Herbert gets the big payday this offseason. Austin Eckler does not. Maybe some hard feelings there. Keenan Allen should be healthy. Mike Williams should be healthy, at least at the start of the season. They draft Quentin Johnson. They bring in Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator. The defense should be healthier. Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, Derwin James, J.C. Jackson. Yeah, it's a star-studded team, and a lot of people are putting the expectations on the Chargers that, all right, Herbert got paid. Time to win some playoff games. Where are you at expectation-wise for this Chargers team in a loaded AFC?
Yeah, so one of my good friends, he's a huge Chargers fan. So I've had this secondhand embarrassment and just heartbreak for living with that, bro. And I was watching the game with him last year, and to see that lead go down, it was tough. It was tough watching that.
Yeah, felt that. I was the one guy out of my friends that said, Chargers minus 2.5. Give it to me all day. And it looked great.
At halftime, you were ear to ear.
I was bragging. The boys should have rode with me.
Yeah. So it's tough because I really thought they should have fired Staley. Just because there's so many just weird things about him and just how he functions the team and coaching. But apparently the locker room loves him.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, and that's why
they didn't fire him. They just took away play calling responsibilities, gave him to Kellen Moore.
Exactly. So bringing Kellen Moore, I think it's going to be awesome for Herbert, especially for Gerald Everett. I think he's going to have a huge year for them. Obviously, Johnson, they drafted. He's going to be a huge help. Honestly, the big thing for them is health, and they've always had this really bad luck when it comes to that.
Yeah.
And pretty much if they could stay healthy – I think you have to at least win one playoff game this year.
Yeah, I mean, their medical staff, it's suspect. Yeah. If you remember a couple years ago when Justin Herbert got his start, it was because they, like, punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung accidentally. And, you know, obviously, like, you can't control injury, and I don't want to blame them, but Keenan Allen's had some injuries throughout his career. Mike Williams. They haven't been a healthy team. J.C. Jackson. You got to wonder, is there a medical staff conditioning issue there? Something to throw out. I also want to throw out this idea at you. So Kellen Moore comes in, takes over the offensive coordinator job. He'll be the play caller, right? It reminds me of the Eagles, where Nick Sirianni, locker room loved him. But the play calling was a little suspect. Following year, Shane Steichen gets the OC duties, gets the play calling, and this team skyrockets. We knew they had the talent to do so. Is that in the realm of possibilities for the Chargers? Can they win this division over Kansas City?
I think it's very possible just because they play the Chiefs very well. Every time they play them, it's super close, overtime, fourth quarter. Like they're very equal. And I think they just need that extra push to get them past the Chiefs. And I think this year could be a possibility. Just me personally, I think if they could just get off to a hot start and just go from there, I think the sky's the limit for them. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Moving forward, I want to talk about the team that finished in third in this division, a team that I believe most consensus have it fourth in this division this year. That's the Las Vegas Raiders. They were 6-11 last year. They move on from Derek Carr. They had Jared Stidham for a stretch at the end last year. They bring in Jimmy Garoppolo for whatever that's worth, depending on, you know, he's a quarterback with a wide range of views. I had somebody trying to tell me yesterday that he's better than Derek Carr in every way besides health. I thought that was ludicrous, but, you know, everybody's got their own takes, I suppose. Josh Jacobs coming off a career year, looking for a paycheck, and like many running backs, not finding one, currently holding out. We'll see what happens there. I find it very unlikely in this day and age with how the NFLPA is set up, any player holding out as Le'Veon Bell did. I think that the owners absolutely won the agreement there, because you can't, or else you just franchise tag the next year and then year after that. So he'll have to show up at some point, whether that's game one or game six or seven, I believe, is the cutoff. Time will tell there. They have arguably the most talented, best wide receiver in football in Devontae Adams. You know, a lot of people are kind of off on him because he had a bad year last year. You had Derek Carr, who was dealing with injury, and Jared Stidham going from MVP Aaron Rodgers to that. Sure, there's a fall off in terms of production, but when you watched Devontae, you knew he was still that guy. Hunter Renfro, not a really good offensive line. I believe I have their rankings up here. It got a little bit worse. I believe they're still in the top 20, but in terms of PFF rankings, 24th ranked defensive line, 30th ranked secondary. It's a defense that's going to give up points, especially in this AFC West, having to play against Mahomes and the Chiefs, Herbert and the Chargers, and we'll get into Russell Wilson and Sean Payton's Broncos next. But three potentially high-powered offenses in division, and then the rest of the AFC, we know it's loaded. I think it's fair to say that the Raiders could be in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes.
Yeah, so my bold prediction, maybe not so bold, I think they're going to get the number one pick next year. I think they just have so much not going well for them. The Josh Jacobs situation, Jimmy G, he's an awesome quarterback when it comes to the playoff time, but for regular season, he's whatever. And just the whole team, it just seems like it's just going to plummet down. And like you said, they're playing in the AFC West and the AFC too. Like, that's not easy for them. And the only other team I can really think of is, I think, the Cardinals, you know.
And that's on Kyler Murray's timeline.
Yeah. So I just – if
we'll talk about them in a little bit, but that's such a fun story to get into.
So if I had a bet on a team, I'd probably pick the Raiders. But it's going to be an interesting year. You know, Vegas, you know, they're at a crossroads, and I'm curious to kind of see – what happens in the Josh Jacobs situation, like you said, especially for fantasy. Like, I'm watching that like a hawk. So
yeah, any shot Devontae Adams requests a trade halfway through the year and I was like, I'm done with this shit. I mean, like, a team would definitely pay up for him. You know, there'll be a team with a wide receiver injury somewhere, or there'll be a team that, you know, could just use an additional weapon. Buffalo, we talked about them going after DeAndre Hopkins. If Gabe Davis isn't it.
Yeah, I think if anything, he would request it after the year's over.
Yeah.
Like when they're rebuilding and stuff. I just don't know if he would do it middle of the season. He could.
Yeah, unlike a lot of wide receivers, Devontae doesn't seem like the drama queen, get me out of here type. But let's move on to the Denver Broncos. They finished last year with 5 wins. Obviously, you know, worst coaching performance in football goes to Nathaniel Hackett. Russell Wilson looked terrible, was not running. Javonte Williams, star young running back, torn ACL early in the season. Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, a lot of hype around them. And like Russell Wilson, they fell below the mark. The offensive line was not good, was arguably the worst of Russell Wilson's career, and he was the least mobile he'd ever been. The defense, you know, they had pieces. They traded away Bradley Chubb, which I thought was so odd because he's so young that he still would have been good for this year. And now their defensive line, if I'm not mistaken, it's ranked pretty poorly. It's 28th per PFF, so not good. Their secondary is top 5. Pat Surtain, in my opinion, is the best cornerback in football, and they have him. So, yeah, the secondary is there, but obviously games are won and lost in the trenches, certainly, sometimes in the NFL. They're not there. Sean Payton's there. What does Sean Payton do for this offense? How high of a level does he get them up to? Do they crack the top 10, or is it just kind of the boat has sailed on Russell Wilson to you?
Yeah, so I actually had the Broncos winning the division last year. I had really high expectations. I got into the hype train, and I was really caught up into that. And so watching them play the way they did was not fun.
Yeah.
Going into this year, you know, I think Sutton, he's going to be very well. I heard in training camp he's looking like his old self, weight-wise, all that. Jeudy, there's a lot of speculation he breaks out this year. And like you said, Russell Wilson, this is his last year, I think, because Sean Payton, he has a short leash. And if Russell, I mean,
they gave him that huge extension. They're like, they'd have to trade him somewhere. Yeah. I don't know who's taking him if he sucks.
Exactly. So I think he really has to put it all this year and really bunker down. And obviously Payne, he's a great offensive coach. I think they'll be fine. Javonte Williams, I don't know, bro. Like, that injury, I heard he's doing a lot better than scheduled, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know how he's doing. So for me, I think reasonably I would put the Broncos like 8, 7, 8, 9 wins in that range. A lot of people have playoffs. I don't see it, but
it's a loaded AFC. I think in the NFC, maybe you can make a case, but there's so many teams in the AFC. But let's hop into that. Let's do our predictions. So why don't you start here? Give us 4-1. Start with obviously who you got last in the division. If you have a win total, great. If not, just kind of an area around it and work your way up.
All right, so Raiders, I got with – I'm going to give them – I'm going to give them 3 wins. I'll give them 3 wins. I got the Broncos with 8 wins. I got the Chargers with 10, and I'll put the Chiefs at 12.
Okay, word. So we have the same order, different win amounts. I have the Raiders at 5-12. I do think that Jacobs plays and – Jacobs and Adams are good enough offensively. Jimmy Garoppolo is a game manager that I don't think that they're the worst team in football, but I think in a loaded AFC, they don't keep up offensively, especially with that terrible defense. I got the Denver Broncos in third place. I have them at 9 wins. I do think that Russell Wilson will play better as well. The coaching's there. You know, when a locker room doesn't buy into the coach, doesn't believe in him, it's very easy to lose a grasp on the season. I don't think they're necessarily as bad as their record showed last year. So hovering around that 500 mark, I have them at 9-8. I have actually the Chargers and the Chiefs, both with 12 wins. I have the Chiefs having the tiebreaker, winning the division, but I do think the Chiefs take a step back from 14-3. Like I said, everything went right for them last year. Mm-hmm. You know, everything just can't go right. Travis Kelce gets a little older, gets a hamstring pull, misses a couple weeks. Maybe some games don't go their way. Nothing too serious. I'm not, you know, out on the Chiefs, but they pull back a little bit, and I do think that the Chargers take that step forward. You know, I believe the Chiefs went 6-0 in the division last year, which is remarkable, but I think the Chargers are able to take one of those games this year with Kellen Moore at OC. Justin Herbert gets paid, and I think all the weapons are syncing up at the right time, and this is the Chargers' year to potentially make some noise. But
so if you have the Chiefs at 12 wins, are you suggesting that they're not the one seed this year?
Oh, I am suggesting that they're not the one seed this year. I have them as the 2 seed.
Okay.
I got a spicy little take. If you subscribe to my YouTube channel, you've already seen it. Mm-hmm. So a little incentive there to check it out. But let's move on here to the NFC West. Not as crazy competitive as a division as the AFC West, in my opinion. I think there's a kind of a clear-cut team at the top here from last season and this season. Spoiler alert there, but looking at it, you know, the 49ers finished last year 13-4. I believe they finished the year on like an 11-game win streak, including playoff games, before Brock Purdy's UCL gets exploded by Hassan Reddick's helmet, and they lose that NFC Championship game. But 13-4, you know, in my opinion, they were the best defense last year. I know Eagles fans won't be happy with me for that, but D'Amico Ryans coached one hell of a defense. They were loaded from top to bottom. And the offensive skill group might be the best in football. McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle, Ayuk, the offensive line, Trent Williams, perhaps the best left tackle of our generation. It's, you know, Kyle Shanahan, an offensive mind. It's what's the quarterback situation? You know, I'm going to hop right into it here because my take on this is definitely stronger and not in line with most people's. I don't think Brock Purdy's the guy. Listen, I get it. He won a lot of games last year. So did Jimmy Garoppolo. But there was a reason you moved off of him. There's limitations to a player like Brock Purdy. There's limitations to a player like Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, you can call me biased or whatever, but I don't think that they were beating the Eagles in that game if Brock Purdy was healthy. I don't think it was necessarily going to be a close game unless that 49ers defense really stepped up and held the Eagles under 20 points. But I just didn't see – I think that the schedule shook out well for the 49ers. The NFC was weak as it was. Obviously, you get Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy in a divisional road playoff game. But even at that, it was still a close game to the end. And the Eagles obviously blew them out without Brock Purdy. But again, I don't think it was necessarily going to be close to begin with. I think the Eagles were a level above because at quarterback, they have a top five guy and a playmaker. And at quarterback, the 49ers have a bottom third guy in the NFL. You put him in any other situation, I don't think he's winning games. And I personally am of the standpoint that they should start the year with Trey Lance. I know that's not a popular take. Maybe he hasn't been playing well in camp. I think that Kyle Shanahan didn't want him. I think that the front office, John Lynch, made that pick. I think Shanahan wanted Mac Jones. You remember around that time, a lot of reports coming out, Mac Jones, Mac Jones, Mac Jones. It's because Kyle Shanahan just wanted a guy who was ready. He doesn't want to groom a guy. He wants to have a guy that's ready now. Trey Lance didn't play any football his last year in college due to the COVID situation and played, I believe, just a handful of games. But was the number three pick for a reason. The guy has the talent. He's got to be given the opportunity. And he just hasn't been awarded that in San Francisco. But his athleticism, his rushing ability, I think he's got to be at least given a shot with these weapons. But, you know, we have to go with the assumption that Brock Purdy is going to be the guy. You know, how do you feel about their quarterback situation?
I'm on the same boat as you, bro. You know, he had an awesome season last year. Great story. But I do not see him as the future quarterback for the Niners, you know. And it's wild because for them to really miss on that third pick with Trey Lance.
But how do we know they missed?
We don't as of right now. But like, and to still be in this position, like I give him a lot of credit, especially John Lynch. So I mean, they also got Sam Darnold. Which, you know, I still think he has some gas left in the tank, especially with Shanahan. It's definitely possible.
USC boy back in mm-hmm. SoCal or yes, North sir. Cal, I guess, for San Francisco.
But it, like you said, I just, it's tough for me to really be all in on them when I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. And if it is Brock Purdy, I don't know how he's going to perform this year.
Yeah. And they also that injury too. Like it's mm-hmm. Like that's the injury that requires baseball players to get Tommy John.
Yep.
Poor reference. Throwing after that is not easy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mentioned this at the time of his injury, and I worry for the kid that this is what's happening, but you're the last pick in the draft. You have a stellar run, but then you get hurt. There's a worry that if you're not back day one, you're never getting that opportunity again. They don't have draft capital invested in you. They don't need to pay you, and neither does anybody else. I wonder if it's a rush back.
Yeah, and I think really losing D'Amico Ryans is going to be a huge loss for them this year. He's an awesome defensive coach. They also lost Jimmy Ward. And I just, you know, there's a lot of factors that play into how their season's going to go and all this and that. I still think they're going to win the division, but I don't think they're going to be as dominant as last year.
Yeah, certainly I have some concerns with them there. Moving forward to Seattle, finished second last year, 9-8 record. I thought they had a really good draft on the offensive side of the ball, as mm-hmm. well as even the defensive side. They bring in Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Zach Charbonnet on the offensive side of the ball, and they bring in Devin Witherspoon, the top corner in this draft, so pair him with Tariq Woolen. This team is young. This team is exciting. They pay Geno Smith, but again, I thought it was a good deal. 3 years, $105 million. Kind of used Geno as a good bridge quarterback who, hey, if the lotto ticket keeps on paying out, you could give him another extension. But if not, he's serviceable enough to your guys to help them develop, maybe get some playoff experience while you use that 3 years to potentially draft a guy, have him sit behind Geno and groom him for the future. You know, they have those Broncos draft picks, so there's always room for them to pair something together and trade up if they want a Drake May in this draft class. You know, I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be available for trade, but, you know, there's some good quarterbacks coming out this year that maybe they could get up there and get if Geno's not the guy. The concern comes, though, when you look past the fantasy football assets on this team. 30th ranked offensive line, 30th ranked defensive line, 17th ranked secondary. So, you know, obviously, the flashy players, the skilled players, DK, Lockett, Ken Walker, they're there. But it's not a deep, full roster. You know, when we go back to last season, it's funny. Everybody had this team bottom, first pick in the draft, you know, 2-4 wins. They surprise, they get 9, they're in the wild card. So by all measures, last season was a success for them. But now coming into this year, the expectation is to, you know, kind of do the same. Do you see it shaking out well for Seattle, or was last year just kind of a one-off flash in the pan for you?
Yeah, I think they'll be pretty good this year again. I think I really, really wanted JSN to fall to the Chargers. I think he'd have been the perfect fit for that team. Yeah. So, you know, but for him to fall to the Seahawks like that and for them to take them was a huge move for them. I loved it. I didn't love the Witherspoon pick as much. I think he'll be good. But, I mean, Jalen Carter was there. And I think, like you said, trenches are all.
Yeah, 30th ranked defensive line.
Mm-hmm. And if you have that, I don't know. I didn't really love that pick. But, you know, Geno Smith, I still think he continues his way from last year. He had an amazing year. I don't know where that came from, but he did it.
Wrote him off, but he ain't right back, baby.
Yeah, so you have that. You have the trio receiving core. But like you said, and also Kenneth Walker, I know, you know, he's hurt.
He's got that groin injury, and for running backs, that could linger.
It is not good to have. And Charbonnet, you know, we'll see. He's hurt too, but you know, NFC's weak, so I think just because of that, they'll get some good wins, quality wins, and kind of be relevant in the NFC playoff race. But I don't see them taking that big enough leap to get to the division champs.
Yeah, I feel you there. And then when it comes to third place in this division, the Rams last year, 5-12. I mean, coming off of a Super Bowl year, it was a little predictable that there was going to be a fall off. We knew that the offensive line got worse. Andrew Whitworth retired. And we knew that some of the defensive pieces got older. But I really don't think anybody had this team going from Super Bowl to 5-12. Obviously, there was a Matthew Stafford injury and then a Cooper Kupp injury piled on top of it. And Cooper Kupp obviously didn't rush back to a team that wasn't going to have a quarterback. There was that whole stint where Baker Mayfield was signed on a Tuesday and was playing quarterback on Thursday and won them the game versus the Raiders. So it was a crazy season for them. And it was crazy in the offseason. Jalen Ramsey obviously moved to Miami. Bobby Wagner now back in Seattle. So this team's personnel, it's not great. It's still Stafford, Akers, Kupp, Van Jefferson, Higbee, but again, the 20th ranked offensive line, the 22nd ranked defensive line, and that's all got to be on the back of Aaron Donald, and the 32nd ranked secondary, so the worst in football. It was crazy. I thought when I was looking up this team, I was like, man, am I like a casual? I don't know any of these Rams players in their secondary, and it is like the definition of a bunch of no names. If you're not a Rams fan and know more than two of them, all the credit to you.
They still got Nick Scott, right?
Dude, I don't have the names written, man. I just know that they're not good. But listen, they got their Super Bowl. They traded away. They said F them draft picks. They got the Super Bowl, so it was worth it. But now it's, you know, I have a feeling that midway through the season it might be, let's get some draft picks and move Aaron Donald. And it'll be huge, but a team will come calling. And if you don't think that you could get a first-round pick for Aaron Donald, and listen, maybe I'm overshooting because we see a lot of older defensive tackle players go for a lot less, but Aaron Donald's a different beast. And again, it obviously depends on positioning, but there's going to be a lot of teams in an AFC playoff race. You don't think the Jets will say, let's go all in, let's go get Aaron Donald and pair him with Quinnen Williams? Could happen. A scary thought right there, but listen, the Rams, their season expectation, let's just say Stafford and Kupp stay healthy. Is this team in the playoff race for you? If they're healthy, give them a full 17. That's never going to happen for Stafford, but give them a full 17.
I've been seeing this everywhere, and, you know, I know the NFC is weak, but there's a lot of people that are on the Rams to make the playoffs this year. They are crazy.
Yeah, it's just such a popular team.
There is no way I can see the Rams making the playoffs, and I don't care if the NFC's weak. I don't care if they're playing JV football teams. Like,
they are the JV football team.
Yeah, exactly. Like they just have this identity crisis to them. McVay was going to retire. Stafford was going to get traded in the offseason. Kupp is already hurt. Like, there's just no way I can see this team making playoffs. So just for that reason, I just, no, there's no, I give them, I'd be shocked if they even were close to making playoffs this year.
Yeah, I wonder at what point, if the wheels start to fall off the wagon, do they abandon ship and start moving Stafford? Say a team with a quarterback gets hurt. I don't like, obviously, you don't like to speculate, but the Niners in division, ooh, yeah, I don't think they would ever do that. But obviously, you don't want to speculate, but I don't know. Let's say, for sakes of argument, that Deshaun Watson gets hurt and the Browns are 7-1. And they're like, oh, we still got a shot. Like, let's get Stafford. Cooper Kupp obviously will have a market. Aaron Donald obviously will have a market. You could hit a full reset on this team and shit. Like, you might be able to get Caleb Williams if you move all them pieces around. That's the direction I'd be looking in if I was the Rams. But Sean McVay, we know the ego this guy has. He doesn't want to be there for a rebuild. He almost wanted to leave after a Super Bowl. He certainly doesn't want to be there for a rebuild. So we'll see. Maybe they're a team that shouldn't be, but will be buyers for, you know, whatever reason. But let's move forward. Talk about the Arizona Cardinals here. 4-13 last year. Obviously, the biggest story with this team. Kyler Murray, torn ACL. When's he going to be back? We don't really have a definitive timeline here. Not at the start of the season. I'd really imagine he at least starts it on the pup. I'd imagine the earliest we would see Kyler is around Thanksgiving. But to be honest, I don't think he plays a snap this year. That's kind of the mindset that I'm going into. I have him on a dynasty fantasy football team, and I don't expect to have him in my lineup this year. Jonathan Gannon, new head coach, obviously former Eagles defensive coordinator. We're not a fan of the hire. Obviously, sour taste left in our mouth, but he's got to be better than Cliff Kingsbury, you'd hope, right? You'd imagine. DeAndre Hopkins, obviously gone on the Tennessee Titans now. They got nothing back for him. They're, you know, let's be honest. This is a team that's playing for next year. They have their own first-round pick in the draft and the Houston Texans. Very well could be going into the 2024-2025 NFL season with Kyler Murray traded, a slew of draft picks in their back pocket, Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. on the roster. And they could be starting over. I think that's definitely in the realm of possibilities. If I was in the front office, that's probably where I'd want to be. But the funniest thing about this team is it's all on Kyler Murray's health track. Because if he comes back, he's good enough to win them some games that maybe pulls them out of that number one pick spot. And then it's... Do you trade Kyler and go with Drake May? Or do you try and roll with Kyler and build around him because he's young enough? You know, Caleb Williams is the can't-miss prospect. If you can't get him, some real decisions to be made. Obviously, you're not a doctor, so I'm not going to ask you when you think Kyler's coming back. But what are just your things to watch for with this team that's likely not going to be good? But is there any players you're kind of keeping an eye on that you think could be part of the future?
Yeah, so first of all, I despise Jonathan Gannon with anything I have in my bones right now. And for the record, I know we just started this podcast, but I wanted him fired before last season. So I'm not just a bandwagon Gannon guy. Like, he was awful before last year, too.
Yeah.
So starting with that, you know, they do have James Conner, which, you know, he's there. Hollywood Brown's a good piece to have. I think he's still young. He still has the burners. And I think he's a guy, especially if you have Caleb Williams, who could really help him out in his first year. Buda Baker, he might be gone soon.
Billy!
Yeah, but we'll see. But for me, you have to sit Kyler, even if he's ready. Because, like, you will get fired in 2 years because Kyler's still playing. And, I'm a Kyler guy. I like Kyler, but he's not like...
I like Kyler, but the team around him is so bad. I mean, they're the 31st ranked offensive line, 32nd ranked defensive line, and 29th ranked secondary. Like, the team is terrible.
They're very bad. And they did get Paris Johnson to help the O-line out. We'll see how that goes.
But again, that's not going to be...
No.
Like, Colt McCoy is your starting quarterback, so, like, you'll be able to see if he's a good tackle, but, like, it's not a needle mover for this season.
No. So, we'll see. I'm curious to also see how the team is with Gannon on the team as the coach, how the identity is, how they react to his coaching.
Did they believe in him?
Exactly.
Did you see that weird, like, exchange when he first got there with him and Kyler? No, him and Kyler had, like, a weird exchange, too. He's just kind of a weird guy. Funny story about Jonathan Gannon, actually. Me and my buddy were going to a Lakers-Sixers game. So LeBron was in town, so the celebs were out. When we got to the game a little later than we wanted to because of traffic, Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown were sitting courtside. Allen Iverson was in the building. Like, stars were out. And when we're getting there, obviously we're a little late, and we're next to blacked out, matte black, G-Wagon, tinted windows fully. We're like, yo, who are we next to? Is it Big Play Slay? like, Jalen Hurts? Like, who are we next to? Lo and behold, it was Jonathan Gannon. I didn't know Jonathan Gannon was like that. I didn't know he had that black G-Wagon energy. So maybe he's got something cooking that we don't know about. But I want to hop into our predictions here. I feel like we're definitely going to have the same here again. These two divisions, you know, we both, I think, went a little chalk with our picks. So for anybody that's new to the pod, I promise you, I know my picks aren't chalk, especially next week for the AFC and NFC South. I know that Nolan's aren't chalk when it comes to the AFC East. So obviously there's no correct answer for the NFC North, but let's hop into it. I'm assuming you got Cardinals 4.
Yep. Cardinals 3 or 4 wins. Yeah.
Yeah, I got them at 3 wins. The Rams, I got in 3rd. I got them at 5 wins again. I got the Seahawks in 2nd. I didn't think going into their prediction when I, like, mapped out and predict every game. So, like, my wins are, like, exact that I have here. I went through the schedule and did every game. I had Seattle coming out at 10 wins. It's a real weak NFC. Not a crazy schedule for them. So, 10 wins is where I have them. Do you have them over under that 9.5 mark, would you say?
Yeah, I think 10 I like.
Yeah, and then I got the 49ers taking a step back at 11 wins. Obviously, the one on that crazy run at the end of last year, that's going to be tough to duplicate, winning that many games in a row. I'm worried about Brock Purdy, worried about his health throughout the season, worried about that arm. Are they going to turn to Sam Darnold? Is Trey Lance going to be ready? If not, is there growing pains if they use him? So a lot of questions at the most important position. So I got him at 11 wins, taking a little bit of a step back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 11 wins for me, I was going to say too.
Yeah, so, you know, we're pretty much the same here. Obviously, let us know your predictions for the AFC and NFC West in the comment section. We'll be responding to as many comments as we can. And, you know, we're not going to respond if your comment is, wow, these guys are stupid. But if you want to tell us why you think we're stupid, then we'll have the conversation with you. But I'm not going to try and figure out what you didn't like in a 40-minute podcast. But obviously, leading up to the NFL season, every Friday, we're dropping these previews on the College Kids YouTube channel exclusively. Make sure you're subscribed. Ton of great content. Barrels and Barrels baseball podcast. I forget the name of it. It's so bad of me as a creator for the brand. But there's an MMA podcast. Obviously, we talk basketball, football. So any of your sports needs will be fulfilled here. And for the NFL season, we're all going to be betting. Bet responsibly, but win your bets. Follow the College Kids on Twitter. They are giving out winners daily, so make sure you give them a follow. Make sure you give us a follow for our first reactions. Make sure you give me a subscribe on YouTube to see my exclusive content over there. But, you know, if you made it to this far in the video, I don't feel bad about giving you the promo because obviously you liked what you heard if you're 40 minutes in. We'll see you guys next week. Peace out.
Deuces.